Quorum call.
Dave Clemenson.
Present.
Tom Gideon.
Present.
Bob Hanslin. Jack Johnson.
Present.
David Nelson.
Present.
Mr. Chairman, we do have quorum.
All right. Give us the explanation for the public hearing procedures.
Today's Board of Adjustment meeting is held to hear variance requests and appeals on decisions made by the Taney County Planning Commission. The Board of Adjustment meeting is governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Public hearings are held on each request for appeal which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission. I would like at this time to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case as Exhibit B, the staff file including pertinent information as Exhibit C, and the Board of Adjustment bylaws as Exhibit D for all cases to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the board, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment, you must sign the sheet which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board and not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairperson. Anyone who wishes to speak either for or against any case to be heard today must be sworn in.
Thank you. And David, would you favor us with the reading of the governing statutes?
The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is an error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. Number two, to hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is provided to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as in herein provided. Number three, where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under Section 64.845-64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege. To authorize upon an appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map. In exercising the above powers, the board may reverse or affirm wholly or partly or may modify the order, requirement, decision, or determination appealed from and may take such order, requirement, decision, or determination as is ought to be made, and to that end shall have all powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
Thank you. Tonight we have a public hearing on Brass Lantern Resort Community. And then, would you give us the staff report, please?
This is the Taney County Board of Adjustment staff report for Tammy Warner, dated April 21, 2010, case number 10-1. This is the public hearing for Dan and Tammy Warner, 5133 Brass Lantern Road, in the Cedar Creek Township, Section 25, Township 22, Range 20. The applicant requests two variances from Table 1 and Section 5.3 of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The applicant applied under Division 3 process for this request March 15, 2010, and the Planning Commission instructed that before they could hear the request, this variance would need to be granted by the Board of Adjustment. General description, the subject property contains 2.84 acres and is located between Brass Lantern Road and Bull Shoals Lake. The adjoining properties to the request consist of commercial and residential. The site consists of four cabins, a single-family residence, a shed, and a pavilion. Summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves these variances, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. Approval for the variance off of Brass Lantern Road, approval for a variance off the back of the property line for three structures, a variance from the two-acre minimum, and then all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code should be met. And the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. I'll walk you through some slides here and first get you oriented to where we're at, that kind of thing. Up here right now we have the GIS map, of course, from Taney County. This is on all the way up at the end of Brassletter Road and point there. This is the property here. We'll go to a little bigger blow up, and you can see this property is actually split. Well, the application states Brassletter Road, and this also says Brassletter Road. When you're out there, the street sign says Brassletter Circle, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, in the event that you've been out there, you're going to confuse it. Part of the property on this side of the road, part of the property on this side of the road. Request is going to deal with a couple lots up here. The county's going to require this part of the road, which is on the property that's being looked at for the variances tonight, be platted as a 50-foot road easement and brought up to minimum county standards. It will be just on this section that is enclosed inside, you know, this property, because that's what these people own. So they, you know, they can't go out and make these parts any bigger or anything like that. What they've asked for is a couple of different variances, and the more I study this, the more I find some issues. You have in your packet a small map, a black and white map, and to look at that, what we've got is there's a lot, there's two lots up here, and then you'll see two lots along this area, and we'll get to that in just a second. But what you have is the old Brassletter Inn resort here. I don't know if this is a pavilion or what it is, everything, but on your plat that you have in your hand, this is a lot. And if you'll look, this particular structure is inside the setbacks on that. So that lot that is being created would need a variance of its own, even as it's being created. And then down here is a single family residence. These encroach, of course, into the setbacks. This one might be actually into the across the property line into the core property. This building may have been moved, but it too was a storage shed, and it is across the property line, and the core is where that does encroach into the property. We can't say that's okay, or you know anything. We can't. So I'm just making you aware that is an issue down there. Give me the next one, Dan. Here's the track that I was talking about, the thing that you have. And, of course, this is the surveyor's drawing. And you can see this one does appear to, each one of these appears to encroach across the property line, not just setbacks, but the actual property line. This lot here, lot number 4 being created, this is the building line setback for county code, 25 feet from the front, 10 in the back. And as you can see, this is, actually, and this structure is actually into the setback area, so we're creating a substandard or non-standard lot right off the get-go there. The other request is we're asking to take and put the resort and the single-family residential home onto less than 2 acres, 1.896 acres, I believe this has its own septic. There may be two for this, and this has its own septic. So right now in this whole place, there I think are 3 septic systems. And we have another slide after this, Dan. Before I do this. So these are the blow up the areas that you saw earlier in the encroachments that are really existed. Go ahead. And again the areas that we were looking at. And just so you'll be clear on all the variances that you would be granting if you so choose to do. Video? Now, this video's got some interesting features. I happened to be alone when I was having to do this, so this is the only way I could do it, ladies and gentlemen. But this is the area out there, and of course, this is the corner. This is the road that goes down to the boat dock area. And as we come around, this would be the road coming into the place, and then this would be Brassletter Circle here. So part of this land, I don't know where that's for sale. I just saw the sign, but you might wonder what was for sale. But this is, the two of the lots would be up in this area, and then the other two lots would be down in this area here. And then these cabins that you see back in this area are going to be the old resort, and then the house being way down at the bottom down here. I'm going to drive you through. Don't let this little dot of this raindrop here bother you. It'll be here in the back and around and everything. So the drop's not actually moving. It's the camera. So, but I want to drive through and show you. This is the old resort. I believe it's four cabins. I can't remember. Four cabins and everything. Of course, that's the house down there in the back. We're going to drive around down through there so that you can see.
They don't call you old Shorthand, do they?
Well, if you get a chance to drive out there, you'll go, man, that boy's good.
Yeah, you blamed it on the computer last time.
Yeah, this is all me. So. They have put in some new gravel for you know the existing roads because this is an active resort right now, and they do run that during the summer. Of course, as you saw, we were talking earlier about the slide. It does a butt core property and then onto the lake there. So. Down a little bit further, I believe, and show you. I think we're going to go down around this road here and get a good look at the house. They're putting up a privacy fence here. Maybe up now, but they're putting up a privacy fence that kind of split these two off. And I believe the intention of this owner is to move into this house, if I'm not mistaken. So. The big picture here, Ms. Warner does intend to put a treatment plant in for the four lots, but at this time did not want to hook the inn or the resort and the other home onto that. And so, consequently, leaving them on a septic system, we would now be taking and shoving this business and this other home that were committed on almost a 3-acre parcel down into a less than a 2-acre parcel. So instead of asking for one septic system on less than 2 acres, we're actually asking probably for three on here and everything. So to me, in my opinion and what I've done, you know, I've read over your statutes and everything like that again, and I've discussed it with Ms. Warner somewhat. On your number three here, it says, you know, if there's a reason due to exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or extraordinary exception, anything like that, then we can grant a variance. But to me, this really looks real close to privileged, just due to the fact that the way it sits now, we would let it operate and everything like that. But we're trying to operate the same business on just a little over half of the property that was there and then create some new lots. So we need the new variance so that we can sell new lots to provide for the sewer system and I would guess some profit and everything like that. But the position of planning and zoning would be that this is a whole lot of request for a very small piece of property. And in our opinion, we'd be bordering very close on granting a privilege. Not my decision to make, but definitely not a good situation, in our opinion.
And I don't know why he'd say bordering on privilege if there's not something about the topography or the shape or the geography of the land that creates an undue hardship for the applicant, then that's exactly what it is a privilege.
Well, and you know, I don't want to make up your mind. You might see something I don't see. But
all right. Would those who would like to speak tonight, would you please rise and raise your right hand? I swear you in.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Who would like to be first? Ms. Warner?
I'm not used to the Board of Adjustments, so Eddie may be right in that. What I was going by was what I was given for non-use variances. Under requirements, I was going by C, where it talked about the difficulty being peculiar to the property and not common to the zone or neighborhood. And again, I'm not sure of your requirements or anything, but what I was looking at, if you look at the whole Brass Lantern Circle, the entire road is a 25-foot easement. In breaking this plat up, we're required to give a 50-foot easement. And so that's why I'm here, was for C, because I felt that it was particular to our property, because our property would be the only small section with a 50-foot easement compared to the remaining circle of 25-foot easement, in which some of the houses and other buildings are built onto that existing easement. So that's why I'm here. I gave you a copy of what I was going to talk about. As new owners, we're planning to install a new water and sewer treatment plant to service the residences on the 2.84-acre tract currently known as the Brass Lantern Resort and abolish the three septic tanks currently in place there. Four additional lots at the resort would be created as a result of this new plan that would have the water and sewer infrastructure. We'd like to complete this project in two phases as follows. The DNR-approved water and sewer treatment plant would be installed and connected to the first four lots shown as phase one. Upon connection to the water and sewer treatment plant, these four lots in phase one would be final platted. Phase two would then be connected and be final platted when all resort residents are connected to the water and sewer treatment plant. Phase two would be connected during the off-season hours between December and March. In order to proceed as outlined, we'd like to request a variance in one of two ways. Current public road along the four proposed lots in phase one is a 25-foot easement. If we widen this to 50-foot to comply with code, it leaves phase two with 1.896 acres, about a tenth of an acre less than the two-acre minimum. The second alternative would be to request expanding the current 25-foot public road to a 40-foot easement instead of a 50-foot, which would then keep phase two compliant with the two-acre minimum until we can get it connected to the treatment plant. And there is four cabins, but one of them is a double cabin, just for the record.
Are those the residences that you're talking about?
We rent those six cabins right now. There's one main home, which is down at the bottom.
There's a corner up there, this one.
Thanks. Thanks. Okay. That's the main house right there. These are the rental cabins. The septic tanks are here, here, and down here. So the area in question, the 0.84 that we're looking to cut off, is above the septic field, so it really doesn't have any bearing on the actual field itself. This here, we were looking at requesting a variance. It's an old pavilion, which we've just decided to tear down, so we don't even need to look at a variance on that. This area here that Eddie talked about being on core, you should have a letter in your packet that I received from CORE. They've been out there two or three times. We've been working with them. That shed on the right has been destroyed, so we burnt that. This little piece here is just a retaining wall that they're fine with. This deck we're remodeling. There's about a two-foot corner, and they're fine with that. So you can see, and Keith Luce is the manager, park ranger that comes out, and he said you can contact him if there's any questions. And they're in support of getting a treatment plant in to get rid of the septic tanks.
All right. Anybody have questions? Ms. Warner?
I'm wondering why we couldn't go ahead and hook up, why you can't go ahead and hook up your residences and your phase two as you're
completing
your treatment system.
Yeah, we just opened for business, and so we were trying to do it on our off season. We shut down from the end of November up until March or April. So we're just trying to work it in. If we start at the top and work our way down, those four lots are going to be in and connected. So we didn't really would like to cut them loose instead of waiting for the remainder into next January to get completed when the top four would be ready, basically, to go.
So is there a time frame then that you would set where all the resort residences would be hooked onto your treatment system?
Yes, I set it as March 2011. And the way it's falling right now with the approvals, I've already got the initial plans ready for the water and sewer. And the way the timeline is going to fall, we talked about it with Eddie today, it'll probably just fall in place to where as soon as the four lots are done, we'll be ready to go into the resort. We want to get rid of the septic tanks, so we're not going to be dragging our feet. But if we are full with customers in the cabin, we don't want to be digging open trenches either.
David?
So you're gonna hook up the residences after?
Yes. What we'd like
the existing buildings.
The existing buildings are going to be hooked up after you have the cabins put on.
After the season is over in November.
What she's proposing is to take this lot, this lot can run into the sewer.
And have
this
done.
As it sits until March.
Till November,
and
December.
Then consider hooking that in there. I would tell you, even if this was 2 acres, we'd still be here because there's more than one septic system on that 2 acres.
But in March, then those two septic systems are somewhere in that time frame are going to go away.
By March.
If you guys get the...
Well, if the treatment plant's put in and everything like that, and I know with DNR, I don't know where Ms. Warner stands in this, with DNR, it can take several months, and we even discussed the probability that it would be March before she got a final to do anything, then variances are a moot point because with a treatment plant, then all of the rules and regulations change. And it would be something that she could redesign and the P&Z board could make an approval of. But before we would allow, if you grant variances before we would allow this plat to be filed, and everything, it would require that the treatment plant, the engineer treatment plant be approved by DNR, the collection system be approved by DNR, then approved by the sewer board, and everything, and the cost established, and then that would be bonded, is what she intends to do before it's actually put in, and then she would file a capacity, she can transfer ownership of the lots up here.
So she needs to be able to plat this to get through DNR and...
No, she doesn't have to do any of that to get through DNR. No, sir. She will have to get through DNR before she can plat.
Before I go to the expense of the engineering for the water.
Okay, then let me. So if she does get the approval from DNR and everything and moves forward with the sewer treatment plant, then really and truthfully, where does that leave us? What's the change the dynamics of this whole thing?
If she has all of that and she goes before our board and she's hooking all of this onto that, then the requirements for a 2 acre lot go away. They would have to come to an agreement on how much property this needs to set on. The house can then be split off also, different things like that. Because there's a centralized treatment plan, and so instead of 2 acres, and I don't know what they would require for that, but the lot sizes become 8,000 square feet. That's why you see these at 8,000 square feet, because
okay, my next question then is, if that's the case, if that goes away, then the variance for the road width, the 50 foot or whatever, that would also go away because she no longer needs the...
It if you grant a variance on the road width.
No, I mean, we wouldn't have to grant a variance on the road width.
That would be correct.
If.
And if you grant a variance on the road width, what it would be doing is, as she's saying, it would bring this up to 2 acres.
For now.
But we still would have 3 septic systems on 2 acres, which we would allow one.
Right.
And everything, so.
And we're still going to abolish them.
Am I wrong? It sounds like to me, if they get their DNR and get all their permitting through and start and get it hooked up, then this really kind of goes away.
If she has all her approval from DNR and everything, she could present this to the P&Z board without the need of variances. And she may even choose to knock the old resort down and plant multiple lots in there.
Yeah.
Which would be her right to do so. And we just discussed that a little bit this afternoon. She realizes that if she goes either way, she's going to end up in basically the same position. I don't know if this would happen any faster. I don't know where she stands with DNR, but I've seen DNR take 8 to 10 months before she could even go before the sewer board, and I know the sewer board's going to take 2 months.
Yeah, I talked to them. They said it'd be less than a 3-month process in Springfield. The main reason I'm here for approval is I'm getting ready to hire the engineers to do the water and sewer and all the planning, which is quite expensive. And I don't want to go through all the DNR and have somebody have an issue and then it's a waste of money.
So that's where I'm at. This does go back to our P&Z board if she gets her variance request, because this is part of a larger platted subdivision. And they're increasing density, and our code book requires that to go back before. But our P&Z board cannot grant anything that violates the code book.
Okay.
So by us, by us granting, if we grant a variance or whatever on this now, I guess what I'm trying to say is this going to speed up? I don't understand whether it's going to speed up your process or how it's going to help you in the long run. I mean, you're going at it the right way, sounds like to me, with what you're doing. So I don't know whether us granting anything is going to help.
She can't get through the P&Z board with this plan without experience.
Right.
And of course, there is a process. Regardless of what she does, she's going to have to go before the P&Z board. She could, however, replat this in a whole different way. It didn't require variances if the whole thing is on an approved treatment plan. And then that board could approve that, and then once she's got everything in place and bonded, then she could file that flat. She could even leave this like this and split it up a little differently. You know, she would split this off and split this house off and that kind of thing. I don't know if this will do any faster or not for her, but it is something that's for this plan she's got to have variance.
Well, I mean, we approved them, or we're approving the 40-foot or difference in the road variance and all that stuff, and then if she gets this, then it could go back.
I'm scheduled for another public hearing.
You see what I'm saying? I mean.
Yeah, the deal is if you grant a road variance here, so then basically the only thing that would do is allow her to have 2 acres down here, you still got to grant a variance. But if you grant a road variance and you grant a variance here and variance here, some of them will be taken care of, but some of them will carry in perpetuity.
That's what I'm asking, is they're going to carry.
Because the 2-acre issue will resolve itself once once it's hooked up to the sewer treatment plant.
Sewer wouldn't necessarily have to be
right. Got that right. Very points there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Kenneth Baltz.
My name is Kenneth Baltz. I live at 4929 Brass Lantern Road. I'm here specifically tonight to register objections to any variances being granted. What we like is our nice quiet neighborhood, and we don't want to see it disturbed. What I'm seeing already in the short time that the Warners have been out there, tremendous amount of traffic on the road, no attention paid to the speed limits. the dust flies. I can't even have the windows open in my house. And so if now if we're going to have construction and so forth, it's just only going to get worse. I'm unclear as to where the present septic systems are on that property. Can you tell me?
Before you, Dan, she said one in here, one over in this area, if I'm not mistaken, and then one down here to services house.
Okay. I'm wondering if any of that flows out onto core land presently, drain fields or anything like that. Do we know that?
The lateral lines for the septic system should be contained on the property that services. In other words, it should be here. Now, if it saturates and everything, as you know, this is all downhill. So I suppose there's a possibility, and of course, in the letter that we've got, the Corps is very eager to see these systems disappear and everything. So, but what should happen is that all the laterals in the septic system should be contained inside these turquoise lines here.
Okay.
Now, well, whether they did in the past or not, I don't know.
Well, the house, the permanent house is there. It sits right close to the line. In fact, as we saw, the deck touches the line. I think that part of that septic system has to be out on the core land. The reason I bring that up, when the Corps was out there a month ago, three gentlemen from the Corps, and I had some conversation with them. I asked them how that is handled if septic systems are on core land. The gentleman's answer to me was, any septic system that goes onto core land, if the property changes hands, the new owner will be required to cut the line off where it enters core property, pump it back up onto the property, and deal with it up there. I suppose if all the septic system goes in, that will be taken care of. Another question I have, we're talking about widening the road here and so forth. Who will bear the expense of widening this road? What else do we have here?
Mr. Bell, is this your house right here?
No, it is not. My house is not. It's not shown there. It's up off the top of the map. As you show there. 4929.
So it's back up in this area here.
Yeah, it's you drive directly past it to get down to any of this area here. What we drive past when we go out Grassland Road now is an ugly sight. Out there at that proposed air park. And our feeling is we would like to see something finished before something else is started. If you drive down Pershing Road to Hogan Creek, take a look down the lake, you see a big old ridge sticking out in the lake, not a tree left on it. It's ugly. Every time we go in or out of Grassland Road, we look at a huge dirt pile and all kinds of excavation. There it sits. I'd like to see that done before something else starts back here.
Well, tonight we're only dealing with this one subject property, sir.
I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that.
If you stick to the point, we would appreciate it.
Thank you.
I presume that the cost of that main of the road is going to be borne by the owner of the property.
The developer would have to bear.
That's to answer your question.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, given the track record of what's going on out there by the Warners, I hate to see anything else started because I fear where it's going to go, because I don't think it's going to be to our benefit. What we have liked about living out there is anytime someone comes to our house for the first time, they get out of their car, within 15 seconds someone says, it's so quiet here. Exactly. And we'd like to see it remain that way. And I don't see these projects here adding anything to the neighborhood. I think they only take away from it. So I guess that's all I'm allowed to talk about. Thank you.
All right. Any questions? Jack? Tom? David? Jeannie Baltz, would you need to add anything?
I just wanted to...
You have to come to the podium, please.
Just what he failed to mention was questions about the well. There are other houses that are hooked onto this well system. How will four more lots affect that well?
Well, I think it's their problem and not the neighbors.
That doesn't come under any kind of jurisdiction from
no.
planning and zoning?
No.
Okay.
Ms. Bell, could I ask you real quick? Mm-hmm. is there a community well that serves this whole neighborhood? Is that what
there's
you're saying?
There are two wells that service this area. Brass Lantern is one well with all of the houses that you basically see on the lower level and the upper far side. There is another well that services the upper where we are and another house and an okay, how do you do this?
I'm looking.
It's not working? There. This house, our house, another house across the street, and this garage right here, plus the lots that are right here, are all on an upper well. All of this down here, all of these houses, and Brass Lantern Resort are on another well. They are not connected except in an emergency situation. So my concern is the extra drain on that well system.
I do know in Ms. Warner's plans, she has a treatment plant, I think, down here, and a new well for this over here, if I'm not mistaken.
That wasn't addressed. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was on the plans that you got.
There are only four permanent resident houses in this area. The rest of them are vacation homes and, you know, recreational homes. So that's why we wanted to speak up. We live there permanently.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Richard Humbarger.
I'm Richard Humbarger, and I don't know the number, but the house in the lower right on the corner, that house, yes, that belongs to my brother and I. My dad had built in 1966, and that's been our place for however many years that is, 40-some years. I have a couple of questions. One is, does the developer hold a deed, a recorded deed to that property?
I don't know the answer. I presume he would.
I believe. Let me just sit real quick.
Or is it a contractual arrangement?
Well, there is a parcel number that it's on the.
We're going to bring
collectors for assessment for real estate taxes.
Well, I've had tax statements come to me to property I didn't have deeded to me.
What would your concern be?
Well, my concern is, kind of like, I'm not going to bring up down the road and that ugliness that the gentleman was talking about. My concern is, we've seen it in Wichita, we've seen it here in Springfield, we've seen it down there along that long road. Sometimes things get started with big plans, and they, with certain time frames, and then the time frames kind of like get extended, and then things don't get finished, and then they just leave, and then you got a mess. And so I'm wondering if this developer, in fact, has a deed to this property, or whether they're involved in some contract arrangement where they're not yet title holder. But
well, you can buy property on contract for deed.
I understand that.
And I believe the statutes only require that you have an interest in the property.
Right. So equitable interest is sufficient to do these variances and change the zoning, the whatever?
This does show to be owned by the Sunday Ranch LLC, which she is one of the managing partners of.
Okay. And so there is a deed to this property to the Sunday Ranch?
According to the County Assessor's Office.
Well, that was just a question I had. The other thing I wanted to point out is they talk about these residences, four residences and two more lots for more residents and whatever. These residents make fine cabins. They actually don't have foundation. They're supported, as you can tell by your photographs you had there, by a pine log sticking up, or cedar log sticking up. And they're not built like houses. They're built like cabins. And some of them, I think, are like one room or one. They're very small. A couple of them are very small. And if these were ever sold off as houses, you'd have a ghetto there of substandard construction. But it makes a very nice resort. The water supply to our place that we've had since 1966 consists of two wells, not one. Carl Dornbos drilled that second well. And when he did, the contractual arrangements, when he sold off this land, said that, and I do have it in writing, that each landholder would be obligated to pay 1/42nd of the cost of maintaining the well, and then later it was 1/42nd for the cost of building the new well. My dad paid his share in the new well, and we in fact own part of both wells. It's not like these houses have a well, and these houses, that's not how it is. We've paid our fair share for both of those wells. I'm thinking that it looks like that if they're going to come in here and put roads around and plat things, it looks like if they had a preliminary plat that shows what's going to happen with these four cabins and where the, it looks like that would be a superior way to just talk, just a conversation about, well, we're going to maybe this or that, or somebody else approves something. I wish they had a preliminary plat. This is the deal, and that's what we're doing, kind of thing, subject to your approval. But that's not what I'm seeing here.
Well, what we have here is a surveyor's drawing of a plat that she's provided that has not been recorded yet.
But that preliminary plat does not include a breakdown of each property, does it? Each of those cabins?
She's only asking for these variance requests of these four up here.
If what's granted tonight, if the variance is granted tonight, this is how this would be planned.
Yeah, those four would still be on one piece of ground.
These four lots, mm-hmm. The road would widen to this, and then this area here and everything would be on the remaining. So what you have is a lot from this line here. This becomes one lot,
right?
Which would have the resort and this house on it. There would be a lot here, a lot here, a lot here, and a lot there, and this four road would be widened.
So what's going to happen? What's going to be the ultimate disposition of those four cabins?
At this particular juncture, she could continue to run that as a bracket.
What else can she do with it?
That's, you know.
Was there some talk about selling it off or something?
No, what we said was if the whole place is put on a sewer system treatment plant, then this could be split up in a lot of different ways. She could choose to knock that down. She could continue to run it. She could divide this into additional lots. She can sell them off with that cabin on there if she would choose to do, or yes or no.
Well, what I'm saying is at one time she, in fact, was auctioning these off individually.
There was,
and if we're going to be making changes on the roads affecting the ambiance of that of our neighborhood and all this stuff, if we're going to make all these changes and we don't really know if that's going to be a resort or going to be individual ghetto dwellings or exactly what that's going to be.
If I could, one more thing to tell them. The reason this is all like it is now is this big square is part of the plat of subdivision.
I understand.
And our code book states that any time you're increasing density, mm-hmm. more lots in a plat of subdivision, you would have to come back before our planning board to do that. So she's in the process of going before our planning board. Now, you have got a notification on that, and this is where a lot of these questions would be appropriately asked and answered, because at concept, when they were first hearing this, they said, there's problems here, you need to go get some variances. If you get the variances, come back. If you don't get the variances, there's no need to come back because they can't approve it. And then she would have to go to another plan. If she platted this thing just like it is, they grant the variances, she goes back before our board says, okay, if they grant the variances and she's going back before our board, you're going to get some more notices here telling you that there's going to be a public hearing on this, because the Planning Commission is considering approving this project. then that she would come into, and if they agreed, she would plat this as it exists. If in the future she wanted to split this into more lots, increasing density in a subdivision, has to come back before that board again. Not to say that they would deny it, but it wouldn't be able to be done just on her whim, I'm going to make a new plat and do this. It would have to come back before that board again.
She's still going to have to go back to P&Z.
Yeah, but if they've got this part taken care of already, then it's just
they still
it's
have
not
to
as big a step for the next.
Well, they haven't got us taken care of yet. We haven't heard the whole thing. This is where we make the decision whether it, what portion it goes on to.
Well, I appreciate.
But she would have the option to come back to the board and say, I want to make this a lot and this a lot, and if she can take care of the requirements that our code book has, and they could approve her to do that. And then if she wanted to sell this off as a lot with a cabin on it, that would be fine.
Well, I think people should have their individual rights to property they own. I simply want to say that, in my judgment, the highest and best use of that property is what it is today. And I also think that that that's being described might be great for that developer, but I think it's a detriment to the rest of that community. That's just my opinion, and I appreciate your audience. Thank you.
We appreciate your comments.
Hey, Eddie, how big is the other box in this subdivision?
Dan, bring up the beacon. If you would put on there the partial dimensions, please, sir. This is by far, of course, one of the bigger lots you can
put.
Yeah.
I'm thinking these run about like 50 or 75 by, you know, they're, of course, you see they're all different sizes. But.
Are they on septic?
Yes, sir. Everything in the area is on septic. Okay, let's see. Well, I was just going to point out a couple of reads on real quick. So, but I'll work on this. Okay. You finished?
Yeah.
This lot 65 by 160, 65 by 137, 118, which is an odd shape, by 231, 68. And it's going to be a little more right there, but 68 by 181, 57 by 185. Just a real.
So most of these aren't big enough to even have their own.
We would not create most of these lots today, no, sir. Matter of fact, we would create any of these lots today because we have a minimum 2 acre standard per second.
Okay. We'll close the public hearing and have comments from the board. My comment would be that, Ms. Warner, you're probably premature in coming to us with this proposal, because if in fact, all we're going to do is maybe grant you a variance that was going to be in effect basically for a year before you get your community septic system in, then it's a different ballgame. I think you're just premature, and I understand that you don't want to go to the expense of hiring the engineering and doing that study without knowing which way you can go. But I think you're premature. I think you can handle this once you get the sewer plant in, which would be next year, whenever that would take place, and then come back before the P&Z board and don't have to request any variances from us. Unless you wanted to continue with that 50-foot road through there, which is going to have to be a 50-foot road. But that would be my take on this.
Any comments? I'd have to agree with that. I'm going to make a motion to deny.
I'll second.
Before you vote, gentlemen, could I get just a little bit of elaboration? Motion to deny based on approval.
Well, I believe, as Mr. Clemenson said, it's premature because if she gets her sewage treatment in, it's going to make all this moot, and that's why I think we should deny.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that she can't ask for the variance for even a short period of time. I understand and agree with what Mr. Clementon said and what you're saying, but I mean a legal basis for the motion.
Well, there's no hardship.
And that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, there's no.
I mean,
you feel this would be maybe possibly a short-term privilege or something.
Well, there's no hardship, economical. It does seem more of a privilege. And
just want to make sure in case we get appealed, they know what they're appealing. So
I make a motion to deny. Based on there's no hardship, it's a privilege. Does that work?
Yes, sir.
Second.
Motion been made and restated and seconded to deny the request for the variances. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote then. David, how would you vote?
Deny.
Tom, how would you vote?
Deny.
Jack, how would you vote?
To deny.
The chairman would also vote to deny, so we have four denials on that at this time. Thank you.
Old and new business, if I could real quick.
Yes.
We handed you a packet. As you know, during our February meeting, there was some discussion from our Planning and Zoning Board about the bylaws, their bylaws and things. They wanted to change their time and they needed to be updated and things like that. So we've given you a packet of your bylaws. We've marked some things in red that we either have changed or need you to consider. So we're not asking you to do this tonight. You can take your time to look at it. We can do it next month. If you want to discuss them tonight, you can do that. We've changed our front page there. 9,000 residents, that leaves the same as our Planning and Zoning Board now. This thing stated that you weren't receiving any compensation or weren't to be paid at all. We know that you are. We try to make sure that on page 2 at C that the way things are listed there was the way that we're doing them. And then in article number 9 on A, we were supposed to be meeting on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock. And we haven't done that I know of ever. You do have an option on that, though, to set your own meeting time. If you would rather meet at 6 than 7, if 7 is good for you, that's fine. But if you'd rather meet an hour earlier, to change these bylaws in any way takes a 3/5 majority vote. So anytime there's a meeting and we have a quorum, these can be updated and changed. That's basically, I think, everything that we've got in there. You might look through them and see what you think, and then if y'all would want to do that, I do want to ask you one thing that we did not put on this form. It's on the very last page, next to the last page. I'm sorry, Article 17 that talks about forms. It said forms to be used are shown in Appendix A. I went to the old code book, and Appendix A didn't have any forms. So I went to the new code book. We don't have any forms. So what was the ask you to entertain is that forms to be used are available in the planning office to change that to that term. So just keep that in mind. We can add some stuff to the code book. That requires a whole different procedure where we'd have to present that to the planning board. They would have to present it to the commissioners. The commissioners have to vote to let us put that into the code book and then go from there. But I think since we can change this document here with just a simple majority, forms to be used are available in the planning office, which is where we get those out now.
And what forms are they referring to?
This would be the packet that we give when anybody that wants to sign up for a board of adjustment. They get an application, they get your copy of your bylaws and the instructions, and that's the packet of information for board of adjustment.
You said 3/5?
Yes, sir.
Minimum.
Minimum?
Yeah, so
it says the rules and procedures may be amended or rescinded by a concurring vote of 4 members. That says it right below. That's Article 18.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I read 3/5. And what page are you on?
I'm on page 7, very bottom, right below. These rules and procedures may be amended, rescinded, supplemented, or repealed at any time by a concurring vote of 4 members of the Board of Adjustment.
That's exactly what it says, sir. I must have been reading something on actually when y'all vote on the deals. But
now we have to change.
So I would say we'll have to have 4 of you.
Otherwise, it's got to go before the commission to change that.
I don't see where it says that.
Okay.
But it would have to be a meeting when we have 4 more present.
Okay.
Well, since we have 4, would there anybody be any objections if we took this up tonight?
And not at all.
The only thing that I see that might be of controversy would be Article 9A in the time. And if there's no controversy on 6 o'clock, why, I would like to go ahead and adopt these as presented with the one change on the time. And I would agree with 6, but I can also agree with 7.
6 works for me.
I would, I guess I would like to hold it at 7 unless our chairman sees it being a long meeting and he could call us and tell us 6 would be fine with me then.
We have to post our meetings, and once they're posted, we can't change the time.
Oh, you can't?
Is that a month before?
They're posted 5 days, 7 days. I don't remember.
5 days.
I believe it's 5 days.
Whatever is required by statute.
I believe it's 5 days by statute, and we post the time that that's happening. A lot of our application forms and everything, and when they're getting these packets from us, tell them these are the meeting times and these are the meeting schedules. It's got the calendars on there and the times and everything like that. So we probably need to keep it consistent, whatever it is. And like I say, it's up to you guys. It doesn't really matter to the staff or anything. I know our planning board did want to go to 6 o'clock, and we did start doing that at the last meeting. But they've been discussing that for a couple of years.
Does 6:30 work?
And you don't have to be around hour. Yes, you can go to 6:30 if you want to go to 6:30.
6:30 or 8. I'm kind of 6:30 or 7 works better for me than 6.
Yeah.
We got 4 days.
And gentlemen, too, if you find that what you've done does not work, you can change it again. Of course, we end up changing a lot of paperwork and everything.
Yeah.
But we don't have to change anything. So just want to know that you had that option.
While they're thinking about that one, members of the board, according to A, shall receive a compensation of $40 per meeting. And while that may not be controversial, does this board decide how much they'll receive?
No, they don't. That is what they are receiving.
And they can be changed to 50, or it could be changed to 30 at any time.
Right. And Bob, maybe we should reword that, because originally it said these members are not being paid at all and everything. Mr. Clemens, you have the old bylaws with you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you flip to that and read what it says?
Yeah.
But did you say there was a statute governing the fact that we had to be paid? It just says members of the board shall serve without compensation, but may be reimbursed for expenses incurred.
That's
allowed by state statute.
Yeah. And right now, state statute says $25, but the county commission has voted to do $40. And I believe they have the right. In a lot of areas, the county can make things more stringent or something like that than what the state has. They can't make it any less than what the state has.
Well, they couldn't pay less than $25.
Right.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure. That's what we're asking.
How about it says in A, members of the board shall receive compensation as set forth by the county commission and may be reimbursed for expenses incurred for attendance as allowed by state statute. Which one's required by state statute, the $25? Is it expenses or is it payment?
I believe it's the $25. It's the per meeting. They don't normally say anything about expenses. Because that's what I remember reading on the Planning and Zoning Board. They were so much a meeting that it didn't say anything about reimbursing expenses. Am I correct?
members of the board shall receive compensation set forth by the county commission, but not less than $25 per meeting. And may be reimbursed for expenses incurred for attendance as allowed by state statute. I don't know. Just they don't set their. They don't set their. My only point is they don't set their.
No,
their
they
compensation.
Do not. They do not.
So if they put it in their bylaws and it changes, then they have to change their bylaws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Does I mean, maybe we should just have in that statement there exactly what the state statute says.
Well, except the state statute doesn't address that the county commission sets the amount.
Well, I could care less if it.
I mean, if they want to make it more, they can choose to do that. I think legally, there's not an issue with them doing more than what the state says, but they are bound by minimum by the state statute to do the minimum.
Should we say at least the $25?
A minimum of $25.
Well, we could say in accordance with state statute, because it may change. If the state goes bankrupt, they may decide they won't pay you.
Does it need a monetary amount?
No.
That's what I'm getting at.
Members of the board shall receive compensation consistent with state statutes and may be reimbursed for expenses incurred for attendance as allowed by. Well, that's redundant, but I mean, you'd say it once. Members of the board shall receive compensation and expenses incurred. And consistent with state statutes.
Yeah. Unless modified by county commission.
Members of the board shall receive compensation and may be reimbursed for expenses incurred as per
state. Well, the county commission can give you more if consistent with state statute.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can do more, but they can't do less.
Okay. I'm just trying to say we don't need to get real specific in compensation.
Right. I don't think we should put dollar amounts myself, but as long as they're meeting the state statute or exceeding it, then we're okay.
I'm sorry to create that while you were thinking between 6:30 and 7.
That's all right.
I'm okay with 7. I mean, if some of our members can't make it. I know you got busy days, full days, Tom.
Well, since we have to put a time in there anyway, like, why don't we put in 7 o'clock and if there's some agenda item that you come up with that it has 7 or 8 of them on the agenda.
Can you get us soon
enough? I can make 6 if you don't want me to shower.
Well, if you move into the office, we don't care.
I don't have to take my boots off outside when I walk in.
Now, we can. If it looks like we're going to have an extra long meeting and we do things early enough, we can
you
kick
may
it
sit
an
down
hour
there
or let
us call.
But we really have to do it. You know, we hate to do anything not just pretty much consistent because people get used to things.
I do have a tendency to sweat.
But just wanted to let you know you had that option, but 7's fine.
Okay.
Can I be difficult for a second and ask what plundering pollution is? On the first page.
What?
Plundering pollution.
The second whereas. I can go with verdant landscapes. It's got to be green something or other. I don't even know what verdant means, but
this was already in here, guys, and we just
I'm trying to figure out what soluble limestone hills is.
Well, that's kind of the geography of here. I've seen it.
Soluble. I'm trying to figure out.
So I don't know who wrote this, but the planning commission starts.
Had to be a lawyer.
No, plundering pollution? I mean, come on.
It's got to be a lawyer.
Hey, Bob, it's been
here
forever.
Should we strike that word?
Plundering pollution?
No.
Potential for pollution.
Plundering?
How about just
plundering.
Strike plundering?
I think we just strike plundering.
Yeah.
If you can't give us the definition of it.
Well, they might have used to have some real bad stuff, you know. Just
well,
ran them
up. I mean, if you kind of grew up around here back in the 60s, I know where plundering pollution come from. So. that's something that sounds like Jared Hayworth or one of them wrote in.
Well, I have a list of the advisory committee that could have been on it.
I won't be too picky, Ewan. I'll leave some others alone. I'm sorry.
So some things have to be in there for the OCOP flare.
Should we vote tonight, or you want to wait until we have a potential of three next month?
Four. It'd have to be four.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the striking of plundering and the verbiage on Article 4 compensation, the verbiage change there. I guess we're all good for 7. So,
and what? Well,
and change the verbiage on Article 17.
Back the way it was?
Two forms are available at the office.
Oh, okay. Which one did you want back the way it was?
Nothing. What?
Didn't you say something about it was worded as...
Article 4, compensation, A, the verbiage you suggested,
uh-huh.
is, I'll make a motion for that. I mean, if I even have to make motions on this.
I'll let you second this.
I think we're good for 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And Eddie wanted us to know that the form, Article 17 forms are available at the office, or the Planning and Zoning Office.
Didn't you say there was something that he worded differently than the last one?
When we're starting the meeting.
We rewrote this thing.
Wow. You talked about people signing up.
That's not your bylaw.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
We'll address that 5 minutes before.
So we have a motion.
I'll second it if I don't have to repeat it.
Now, discussion?
Yes.
On the very back of this, you'll notice there's a place for the current board members to sign. So you make this motion. We will bring to you a clean copy of this next month to sign off on anything like that. And
will it have to be notarized?
We've got one.
Do I have to put that in my
motion? No. No, it doesn't. We just have to have a bar.
And the next time we refer to it, none of you board members can say, who passed these? And then look at the last page and see your signature.
The only one that's going to be able to throw stones is in New Zealand. It's in New Zealand,
Queensland.
And also that included the order of...
Yes, sir.
...of the agenda. All right. So... Motion been made and seconded to adopt the revisions on the Taney County Board of Adjustments bylaws to those so noted in the motion, including the time staying at 7 o'clock or changing to 7. All those, I'll ask. David, how would you vote on the motion?
Aye.
Jack, how would you vote?
Aye.
Tom, how would you vote?
Aye.
Chairman would vote aye also. So we have bylaws adopted. And then we've got...
Approval of minutes?
Approval of the minutes from last January.
Oh, geez.
If they are, in my opinion, in good order.
I would make a motion to approve these minutes.
Motion made to approve with the second, Tom. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Hearing none, it carries.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the second.
Me.
Tom.
Thanks.
We will be having a Board of Adjustment next month. You'll be hearing 2 cases. I believe they're both variance requests.
Yeah.
I believe they are. You'll be getting those packets soon. That's what we have right now.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob, for coming.
Thank you for being here.
I like those new specs, too.
Oh, well, thank you.
They make you more distinguished.
Sophisticated.
Oh. You look older.
Older?
Older.
Okay. A wiser.
A wiser.
1 minute
and 8 seconds.
Oh, that's really
good.
Oh. Well, I told my wife this would probably be a fairly fast one tonight. And I'm there again. You
don't
never know.
I was thinking 30 minutes, but I'm going to talk to my boss. Tell me what
is everything in your world?
It's progressing along slowly.
like a snail.
Been sitting with 2 days worth of acquisition people and all that good stuff.
What's this?
Tomorrow's supposed to be the big day. We'll see.